Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mr. Right Now by Cheryl Lister, narrated by Leon Nixon and Adenrale Ojo. The Untold Legacies, Mr. Black Organization. Every legacy has a story. This is ours. Dante Powell steered his rental past the large Victorian that housed the African American Historical Museum and parked around back next to what looked like a storm shelter or old bunker. He got out, walked to the door, and entered the code. Instead of taking the elevator, he opted for the stairs. Dante took in the cool, damp space with its metal railing, painted concrete walls, and exposed piping. This is where it all began. Five black men, including his grandfather, had come together at the height of the civil rights movement and founded the Mr. Black Organization in an effort to bring hope to their communities across the nation. That legacy had been passed down to his father, and now him. He stepped out into the otherwise silent hallway, the sound of his expensive loafers echoing on highly polished concrete floors. His steps slowed as he came upon the photos of the founding families lining the walls, pausing at one of his grandfather, and a small smile curved his lips. Isaac Powell Sr. had brought Dante to this place shortly after his 16th birthday, and a day after a fated visit with his high school guidance counselor. When he'd expressed a desire to become an electrical engineer, she'd given him a patronizing smile, while suggesting he might be better off pursuing a sports career, since he was good at it, or something less challenging. He angrily pointed out his perfect grade point average, the fact that his father owned a tech company and held the same degree, then walked out. Later, seated around the table with his grandfather, father, and other family members who had made it their mission to provide every opportunity to black and brown people, his quiet rage turned into a raging passion to do the same. In his current role as Mr. Black Los Angeles, he planned to continue that pledge. He inhaled deeply and let it out slowly, then continued to the conference room. Inside, three pairs of eyes turned his way when he entered. "What's up?" Preston Scott glanced down at his watch before extending his hand for a fist bump. "I can't believe you're late." He always made it a practice to value other people's time, and was rarely late. "Couldn't be helped. Flight was delayed." Dante greeted the other two men, Nero Bond and Titan Stone, the same way. "Where's Porter?" Porter Crown rounded out the fifth member of their group and had a penchant for being late.
"You know his ass ain't never on time,"
Titan said. He chuckled.
"True that."
"How's the City of Angels?"
Nero asked.
"Not that angelic."
They caught up on each other's lives. Then the conversation turned into a spirited discussion of sports. Porter strolled in, impeccably dressed as always, and Dante shook his head.
"How's the youth center going?" Porter asked.
"Better than I'd hoped. We just received two grants from private foundations and one from the city."
All three would go a long way in funding their educational and artistic endeavors, as well as staffing.
"Let me know if you need anything."
They did a fist bump, and Porter continued greeting the others in the room.
"Okay, let's get started,"
Preston stated, interrupting the various conversations as he took out his tablet.
"As part of the founding families, we've all been members of Mr. Black since we turned 21. Yet it wasn't until I was attending the networking event this past October that I realized, for the first time since our grandfathers and great-grandfathers stood in this room, that each founding family has a member as the chosen Mr. Black rep for their city right now."
Dante's expression wasn't the only surprised one around the table. Titan spoke up.
"I suspected it had been a while, but I must have been so busy with work I didn't realize this was the first time in over 50 years.
Dante had the same thought. Preston leaned back in his chair.
"I don't think the National Executive Board realizes it either."
If they had, no doubt they would have called us into a private meeting at the event to try to figure out a way to rein us in.
Dante added, with a snort. His father had once told him that the board would try to tell him not to push too hard, to let things happen in their own time. At the same time, he encouraged him to push back when necessary and do the things that felt right.
"And I still can't get over the fact that none of the members of our family are sitting on the board right now,"
Nero said. That opened up a conversation about their next steps. They had a prime opportunity to make an impact, and he was here for all of it. Dante clasped Porter on his shoulder. "Luckily, as founding families, we have clout in this organization, even without any of our family on the board."
"We have our forefathers to thank for that," Porter said.
Preston nodded.
"We do. But I'm more concerned about using our leverage in our cities, since up until now all five of us weren't in this role."
"What were you thinking?"
Nero asked.
"Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, but it doesn't change the fact that most of the nation is not even acknowledging it," he answered. "Nor do many black folks even know why Juneteenth is important."
"You want us to be more educationally focused," Titan said. "Be more aggressive in our approach to teach our cities through Mr. Black about our culture."
"And shed a bigger spotlight on our history," Dante finished.
"You both read my mind," Preston mentioned.
"Because my mind was there too," Dante responded. It had been one of the reasons he'd opened the youth center. The five of them tossed out ideas with the intention of focusing their Juneteenth celebrations toward the youth, to encourage them to set their sights higher, and to not accept inequality or inferiority as a way of life. The meeting continued, and as it had become their custom, Porter pulled out his special bottle of imported whiskey and placed three shots in front of each of them. Dante tossed back the first shot for his father and grandfather, the second one for his two friends he'd lost to gun violence, and the third wasn't to drink, but to be poured onto the concrete floor in memory of their fallen brothers and sisters around the world. The passionate discussion continued, the deep bond between them strengthening. That they all had been voted in at the same time wasn't coincidence. In his mind, it was destiny. Their destiny. His destiny. They had 4 months. It was time to kick ass, and they were just the men to do it.
Prologue.
"You know all we can ever share is right now," Dante Powell said to the half-naked woman standing in his hotel room. A sultry smile curved her lips. She unhooked her bra and let it drop to the floor, then slowly slid the tiny matching purple panties down and off her long, toned legs. She sauntered over to where he still stood, leaning against the door, transfixed by her smooth cocoa skin. His gaze made a slow tour down her body. Full breasts and a narrow waist that flared out to generous hips. A jolt of lust went straight to his groin, and he felt his erection getting harder by the second. Sliding her palms up his chest, she wound her arms around his neck.
"Okay, Mr. Right Now, let me see what you've got. We don't have a lot of time."
In the blink of an eye, Dante's clothes hit the floor. Yes, their time was short, as she had a connecting flight later. But for some reason, he didn't want to rush. He wanted to take his time, touching and kissing every part of her curvy body. Pushing the thought aside, he reached for his discarded pants, retrieved a condom, and rolled it on.
"Then we better get started. Right here."
He lifted her in his arms, turned and placed her against the nearest wall. She wrapped her legs around his waist.
"I like the way you think."
Their eyes connected, and he felt a spark of something. Instead of dwelling on it, he captured her mouth in a hungry kiss. She moaned, fueling his desire even more. Her head fell back, and he trailed kisses along her jaw, exposed neck, and back up to reclaim her lips. Dante gently sucked on her tongue while slowly gyrating his lower body to the same rhythm. He reached between them, circled her clit with the pat of his thumb, and slid first one finger, then a second one inside her. She shuddered. Oh, yes. Right there. He dipped his head and latched onto an erect nipple. She cried out. He sucked and licked until her body trembled, then lavished the same sweet torture on the other one. Dante felt the tiny contractions and knew she was close, but he wanted to be inside her when she came, and withdrew his fingers. She whimpered. Don't worry, baby, I've got you. He eased his shaft inside her until he was embedded deep within. His eyes closed, and he didn't move for several seconds, relishing in her tightness surrounding him. He began moving, plunging deep, and retreating in a slow, erotic cadence that sent heat spiraling through him. She moaned and arched her back. He kept up the pace, each stroke going deeper and deeper. Dante planted his feet and increased his movements. "Don't stop," she panted. "I don't plan to, not until we're both satisfied," he murmured, moving faster. He grabbed her hips and guided her to move faster. Her hands dug into his shoulders, and her inner muscles clenched him tight. Dante could feel himself teetering on the brink of his control, but he wasn't ready for it to end. His body trembled slightly, and he closed his eyes as the sensations intensified. "Damn, girl," he said, pulling her into a passionate kiss. Abruptly, she broke off the kiss and let out a scream as she climaxed all around him. He tightened his hold on her hips, drove into her faster, and moments later he went rigid, threw his head back, and exploded. Dante let out a low groan as his eyes slammed shut. She rested her head on his shoulder, their breathing ragged. "This was the best layover I ever had." Dante chuckled softly, aftershocks still racking his body. The touch of her hand on his face made him open his eyes. She kissed him with a sweetness that went straight to his soul, shocking him in the process. For a brief moment, he fantasized about them getting together again. Then he remembered what happened the last time he let a woman get close to him and dismissed the notion. One night. That's all they could ever share. That's all he'd ever want from a woman. Chapter 1.
Are you ready for the summer rush?
Dante glanced up from signing the papers on his desk and nodded at his best friend and business partner, Ryan Hendricks.
Enrollment is up by about 25% from last year.
The original Impressions Youth Center, run by another friend, Bryson Montgomery, had prompted Dante to open Impressions 2 Community Center 3 years ago. They'd met when his tech company donated laptops. Later, he volunteered and enjoyed it so much that he wanted to do the same, providing more children with a safe place to learn and grow. The after-school and preschool programs ran year-round, and they opened full-time in the summer.
"Then it's a good thing we hired those two new teacher assistants."
Ryan leaned back in the chair and crossed an ankle over his knee.
"That reminds me. The new counselor starts today."
"Man, she is fine," he added with a grin.
"The only thing we need to be worried about is her doing her job." They'd had to fire the previous one after some of the students complained about the woman's lack of empathy. The last straw came when the woman told a student with body image issues to start hanging around people closer to her level of physical attractiveness, or make some uglier friends. Dante had fired her on the spot, but it had taken more than 3 weeks to get the teen back on track. He just hoped the new person had more compassion. Ryan mentioned her being closer to their age, in her mid-30s, so he'd keep his fingers crossed things would work out.
I'll meet with her after the staff meeting.
Then you can see up close that she's exactly your type.
What is it with you? You've been trying to hook me up with one woman after another for the past couple of months.
I don't want to be hooked up. I like my life the way it is. Besides, running the center and the tech company doesn't leave much time for anything else.
Along with the youth center, Dante served as CEO of the tech company his father started. Thinking of his father made his chest tighten. It had been 4 years since his father's death, and the pain of losing his hero felt as sharp now as it did then. Forging the emotions inside, he turned toward his computer and opened his emails. Ryan stood, stretched, and headed for the door.
You aren't getting any younger, and it's time to let go of the past. And before you start spouting the same bullshit about you have, let me remind you that over the past 4 years, whenever you've taken a woman out, it's one date and done.
He paused.
If you bother to take one out at all, you can lie to yourself, but I've known you for 32 of your 37 years, my brother, and what you're doing isn't healthy. Maybe you need to be the first one to make an appointment with the new counselor. See you in the conference room for the meeting.
Ryan walked out.
Dante dragged his hand down his face. He had no desire to be in an exclusive relationship. He tried that once, had even proposed. But in the end, her betrayal had taken something from him that he couldn't get back.
Never again. Straightening his chair, he went back to his emails.
Morning, big brother. You're holding up the meeting again. His head came up sharply. Hey, Erica. What did you say?
Erica pointed to the clock on the wall.
The staff meeting. Everybody's waiting for you.
She frowned.
Are you okay? You've been really distracted for the past month or so.
I'm fine, he answered, pushing to his feet. He'd lost track of time, answering emails pertaining to both the center and the tech company. He grabbed the folder containing the meeting agenda, a notepad and pen, and headed for the door. Erica folded her arms and blocked his path.
Something's going on with you, Dante. Ryan noticed it too. It started right after you came back from that trip to Dallas.
She narrowed her eyes.
Did something happen with the new tech deal?
Dante sighed.
Times like these almost made him regret bringing his best friend and little sister on board.
Ryan was bad enough, but Erica, 6 years his junior, acted as if she had as much right to his personal business as he did.
Yeah, something happened. A lot happened. But none of it had to do with the company or the new deal he'd been working to finalize.
Everything with the deal is progressing and there's nothing going on, he said instead. He lifted a brow and gestured toward the door.
Do you mind? We don't want to keep everyone waiting.
She moved aside.
I'm going to find out sooner or later.
There's nothing to find out. He shook his head and left her standing in the doorway as he headed to the conference room at the end of the hallway.
Good morning,
he said to the six people seated around the table as he claimed the chair at the end.
Sorry about being a little late. I lost track of time.
Erica took the empty seat next to his and, still glaring at him, set a huge mug on the table. She lived on coffee and needed two or three cups to get her going.
Okay, let's get started. School will be out for the summer in 4 weeks, and that means we'll be going back to our full day hours of 8 to 5:30.
Oh, joy,
one of the teachers said, eliciting a round of laughter.
Are we doing the camping trip again with Bryson and his crew?
We are, and it'll be the first weekend in June, as usual. But I may not... Dante paused when the receptionist stuck her head in the door.
Sorry to interrupt, but the new counselor is here.
She stepped back.
It can't be.
Yet there she stood, as if she'd walked out of his dreams. Dante forgot to breathe. He didn't even realize he was on his feet until he heard Ryan clear his throat. Shaking himself, he crossed the room and extended his hand.
Welcome to Impressions 2. I'm Dante Powell.
Her smile hit him squarely in the chest, the same way it had the day they met.
"I'm Jayana Cole. It's nice to meet you."
She gave his hand a little squeeze before releasing it. Erica and Ryan stared with raised eyebrows, but Dante ignored them and gestured Jayana to an empty chair and made the introduction.
Jayana.
He liked the name. And her. "We can meet one-on-one after this meeting and I'll catch you up." She nodded and sent another knowing smile his way. He tried to recall what he'd been talking about before Jayana came in, but for the life of him had no clue.
"What were we discussing?"
"We were talking about the camping trip," his sister said, with a smirk.
"Oh, right. I may not be able to go since I'm heading up the Juneteenth festival this year."
Ryan chuckled.
"One of your Mr. Black Los Angeles duties."
Dante shot his friend a look. While he loved giving back and working with the kids, he preferred keeping a low profile, something he found difficult in his new role. He would hold the position for 4 years before someone new was selected.
"Moving on."
Again, one glance at Jayana, and he promptly lost his train of thought.
"I'll touch base with Bryson sometime this week and get the details, and let you all know at the next staff meeting. Any questions?"
When no one spoke up, he moved on to the preschool and the new teacher assistants.
"How many students do you typically have during the summer?"
Jayana asked.
"Anywhere from 40 to 65.
Once again, Dante couldn't stop staring at her. He whipped his head around and smothered a groan when Erica kicked him under the table.
"Someone else is asking you a question."
His eyebrows knitted together and he scanned the faces, wondering who'd asked.
"I am losing it."
"I'm sorry."
"I wanted to know if the camping supplies we ordered had come in."
"Not yet, but I think the tracking says they should arrive by the end of the week."
He went over the remaining items and ended the meeting. Less than 2 minutes after he got back to his office, Ryan and Erica barged in and closed the door.
"Man, what the hell is wrong with you?" Ryan asked. "And did I miss something with you and Jayana?"
Erica dropped down in one of the chairs across from his desk and crossed a leg over the other.
"I was going to ask the same thing. You could barely get through the meeting."
Dante waved her off and stared out the window, which overlooked the center's playground.
"I don't know what you're talking about," he lied.
From the moment Jayana strutted into the room, the heated memories of their brief time together played like a loop in his mind, messing with his self-control. He rarely got caught off guard, but today, his sister was on point. Of course, he had no intentions of telling her that, though. She didn't need another reason to be in his personal business.
"Oh, please. You stumbled through that meeting like a drunk on his fifth shot of whiskey."
Ryan burst out laughing.
"She's got a point. So you might as well tell us the real deal, especially now that she's an employee."
The fact that Jayana was now employed by the center, and by default, him, should have been enough to make sure things remained professional.
"I won't ever let myself be vulnerable to another woman again," he kept repeating to himself.
However, the sexy grin she shot his way, along with the attraction still simmering between them, let Dante know it might not be so easy. He braced his hands on the windowsill and closed his eyes. From her thick, curly mass of brown hair, streaked with golden highlights, and sparkling dark eyes set in an exquisite cocoa face, to her full breasts that fit perfectly in his hands, and the way her feminine muscles clenched around his.
"Dante!"
Erica's voice cut into his sensual thoughts.
"What?"
Glancing over his shoulder, he met both Erica's and Ryan's curious gazes. Sighing, he said,
"I know her. I mean, I met her a few weeks ago on the flight to Dallas."
A slow grin curved Erica's lips.
"Well now, I knew it. She's who has you so distracted."
A knock sounded on his door, and Ryan got up to open it. "Come on in, Jayana."
Jayana entered the room fully and paused.
"I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in a meeting."
Erica stood.
"We're not. And we're leaving."
She turned toward Dante and mouthed,
"We aren't done with this conversation."
Dante ignored her.
"I'll catch up with you later, Dee,"
Ryan said as he exited behind Erica and closed the door. Jayana smiled.
"Well, if it isn't Mr. Right now. Didn't think I'd ever see you again."
"Same." And that made her a safe choice. He gestured to one of the chairs. "Please, have a seat." Instead of immediately moving, she asked,
"So, how have you been?"
"Good. You?"
"Same. Surprised, but in a good way. Seeing you has me wondering about another round of right now."
He had the same thought, and so did his body, if the speed at which it reacted to her words was any indication. From the moment she'd slid her shapely backside past him to take the window seat on the plane, then said,
"So this is how the other half lives. I may have to travel first class more often."
He'd been intrigued. So much so that when her connecting flight had gotten canceled and the next available one was 6 hours later, he'd invited her to a late lunch. They'd laughed, talked, and ended up in his hotel room having the best sex of his life.
"It can't happen again," she chuckled as her gaze slowly traveled over him. Closing the distance between them, she stopped just short of touching him, but close enough for him to feel the heat rising and smell the lingering notes of the sweet, sensual fragrance she wore.
"Then you should probably make that clear to certain parts of your body." With a bold wink, Jayana slid into the chair. Dante couldn't say one word. His body and mind were definitely on opposite tracks. And although it wouldn't be easy, he was going to do his damnedest to overrule his body.
Jayana Cole stared at the man who had been starring in her nightly dreams for over a month. Surprised and come close to how she felt when she walked into the room and saw him. He'd been dressed in a suit when she met him on the plane, and she thought he looked good then. A little over 6 feet, toffee skin, a textured high-top fade, jaw-hugging beard, and a diamond stud in his ear that gave him a bad boy edge. Seeing him now, in the well-worn jeans and black tee that molded against his well-defined upper body, she couldn't decide which she liked better. For someone who sat behind a desk, the man's body was a work of art. They sat silently, his dark, piercing eyes boring into hers with the same intensity as the evening they spent together. Only this time she sensed his struggle, as if he was battling between what one wanted to do versus what one should do. The attraction was still simmering, and she knew it wouldn't take much for it to be rekindled. "So, tell me about this place," Jayana said, breaking the sensual spell. "I'm surprised you weren't the person to interview me, especially since we ended up on the same flight." A slight grin kicked up in the corner of Dante's mouth.
"I usually do conduct the interviews, but I had a meeting that couldn't be rescheduled. As far as this place..."
Dante waved a hand around.
"We opened the doors 3 years ago.
She listened as he told her about their preschool, after-school, and summer programs. The passion with which he spoke added even more intrigue. Not many men would give their time to a program like Impressions, too. "I'm really impressed."
"Thanks. Do you have any questions?"
"Actually, I have a few. First, what made you decide to do this, and what did you do before?"
"I love kids," Dante said. "After volunteering at the original Impressions, run by a buddy of mine, I figured we could help more kids with a second center. We do our
sample complete. Ready to continue?